I says, well, I was a little hesitant about doing chapter 7 because of the content. I thought about skipping it, and my wise brother said, no, go do it all. And here we are 3 weeks on one chapter. So I guess God has stuff in here that he wanted y'all to hear. So we will wrap up chapter 7. So turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And we're going to see Paul is kind of putting a ribbon around some of the stuff that he's been saying. He's been saying some things that are maybe a little confusing up until now. And I think he kind of brings it all together. Now, the sermon title, it says, Marriage is for Life. And hidden in Paul's message about you should be married, you shouldn't be married. If you get married, that's okay. But if you don't get married, hidden in that whole message, as I prepared this message, was the idea that marriage is for life. Marriage is for life. And I hope you'll see how I arrived at that. Paul says that a married person has to spend quite a bit of time paying attention to their spouse, and that is quite true. For those of you who are married, for men in particular, my view of Scripture is that for a man, God comes first ahead of everything, ahead of your wife. And here's where it gets really tricky. Your children, in terms of priority, come after your wife, because that's the way God designed it. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't times when somebody gets more of your attention than the other, but in your mind, your commitment all through Scripture is that God first, amen? So God first, and then if you're married, then your spouse, and then your children. And then you kind of mix that up as it's appropriate, but those are the priorities. So Paul is saying a married person has got to spend a lot of time paying attention to spouse and by extension the family, and that's true. A single person doesn't have to worry about all that stuff and will therefore have more time to focus on pleasing God. Paul says that a single person is free from those domestic concerns. His own opinion, and he made this very clear, his own opinion was that people should remain single like him. But you remember last week, he made it very clear. He said, this is not a command from God. This is my opinion. And why? We look at Paul's life. We talked about your giftedness. You're supposed to execute your giftedness, whatever that is. So Paul's giftedness and his mandate from God was to be an evangelist and travel all over the world. So that's where Paul was coming from. It says, for him, being single is better because then you can really put God first. But that's not the whole story. The reason he gave was that Jesus was going to come back soon, the end was near, and the world was passing away. Paul wanted all the faithful people to devote themselves entirely to the work that God wanted them to do. Attachment to other things, such as marriage and family and responsibility, would hinder their commitment in his view. So let's begin with verses 29 through 32. Look at that. It's a miracle. It worked. Verse 29, it says this. This is what I mean, brothers. When Paul says something like that, I think it's Paul actually realizing that he may have been a little bit confusing up to this point. So he says, this is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. By show of hands, how many of you are confused at this point? Thank you for being honest. And it is a little bit of confusing. But let's dig deep in there. It says, the appointed time has grown very short. So this speaks of a season of trials. It may also speak of a shortness of time. Notice the end of verse 31. For the present form of this world is passing away. We also see the same kind of an admonition in 1 John in chapter 2, verse 17. And it says, the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. So you see, this is where Paul's coming from. In a sense, it relates to the idea that the time is growing short. We all have a certain number of days to walk on this earth, right? So from the moment you're born, the time is short. In God's scale of time, our time is very short. So if your time is very short, there's only a certain amount of time, there's only a certain slice of the calendar in which you can walk in the Lord and do his work. So you need to be focused on doing God's work. So he says the time is growing short. So what then, for instance, what should engaged couples do? Do I get married? Do I not get married? Because Paul's being confusing. Paul is given his counsel. He thinks, considering the present times, it's best to stay single if that is one's condition. Now, he gives his reasoning based on his perspectives of living kind of in the end time. Our text continues, though, and this time he gets down to more practical matters. So just to close off this chunk, the idea is if you're concerned with worldly things, you're not going to be concerned with God. So if you're married, right, if you're focused on your marriage, which is a good thing, you can't be 100% focused on God. So he's just trying to say you need to be dialed in and focused on the things of God. And then, because Paul's a pastor, he wants his people to be at peace. So he suggests in verse 33, he says this, but the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided, and the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. So you see, he's beginning to clarify where he's going with that, that he has a certain opinion about married versus unmarried and what you should do with that. But as he goes forward, I think the real message of this text is where he pulls this whole chapter together. He wants people to be without anxiety. He cares for these people. He wants what's best for them. In this case, he's concerned about the anxieties or concerns that people face. He wants them to be free from anxieties and worries. Don't we all? Right? With the intent, he gives his counsel to singles engaged to be married. Paul gets straight to the point. Single people are free to devote their attention to pleasing the Lord. Unlike married persons, they don't have to add to the needs and wishes of their families to that equation. So having said this, he does permit marriage for the same reason he talked about back in verse 9, the sexual temptation. The unmarried person has those drives and those temptations. And believe me, our culture today is making that significantly harder than it would have been in their day. Because it's just everywhere. So the unmarried person has to deal with that pressure all the time. So as we get towards the end of the text, let's look at the last piece here. If anyone thinks that he is not behaving properly towards his betrothed, if his passions are strong, and it has to be, let him do as he wishes, let him marry. It is no sin. But whoever is firmly established in his heart, being under no necessity, but having his desire under control, and is determined in his heart to keep her as his betrothed, he will do well. So then he who marries his betrothed does well, and he who refrains from marriage will do even better. Again, it sounds a little bit confusing, but in the context of the Old Testament, betrothed means that you're committed, this is going to be the person that I spend my life with. Do you remember Joseph and Mary? She was his betrothed, but then there was a question about whether he was going to marry her or not. So Paul is talking about, well, what you could do is stay betrothed permanently. So then you're both single and you can devote all your time to the Lord. But you see, there's a built-in conflict there, isn't there? If you're betrothed to somebody, sort of like, it's like an unfinished sentence. If you're betrothed to somebody, it would be very difficult for most human beings to say, well, we're going to be betrothed, we're going to be committed to each other forever, but we're not going to get married. And Paul says that if that is going to be too difficult for you, go ahead and get married. It's okay. So you see where he's going with this whole entire thing. He's doing a whole treatise on the idea that God first, and then you have to look at your giftedness and see what is it that God has tasked you with in terms of your abilities and your passions for service and ministry, those sorts of things. And then you have to be clear with yourself. If my passion for ministry is I just need to go on the mission field, I just feel in my heart that that's what God's called me to do. I want to go be a missionary to someplace terrible like Hawaii or something. But you understand what I'm saying? People, I get that, especially new believers. This is an issue with new believers. They're very on fire for God. That's the Christianese that we use, right? They're very on fire in God, especially young people. They want to go off to the mission field. I'm on the board of, it's called the Living Help Center. It's a pregnancy counseling center in Downey. And we had our big fundraiser the other night. And I'm sitting next to this fella, Bob. He's a really nice guy. His 25-year-old daughter and her husband and his 5-year-old grandson just moved to Thailand for 2 years to be missionaries. Now, needless to say, Bob is a little conflicted about that because he's okay with the fact that they want to do missionary work and all that's good. But here's 25 and 26-year-old young people with this kid that have decided that this is the time in their life when they need to go off to an exotic land for 2 years. Now, I'm not making a comment on whether or not that's appropriate. What I am saying is you have to be cognizant of what God has called you to do. Is that the best thing? The young man in this scenario needs to really ask that question. As much as he has a heart for serving God, remember God first, then your spouse. Do you have to ask yourself, God, is this what you really want?